right. Ready to dive into some pretty murky legal waters today.
Sounds good to me.
We're looking at Cheney v. USDC.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
A Supreme Court case from way back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It's this clash between, like, presidential power.
Right.
And the public's right to know.
Yeah.
All centered around this controversial energy task force.
Yeah.
And there's even a duck hunting trip.
Oh, this is going to be good.
You bet. So you've given us a ton of stuff on this case.
Yeah.
Excerpts from rulings.
Right.
Legal analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the original briefs.
Wow.
So let's try to figure out what makes this case so interesting and why it still matters, you know, even today.
Well, one thing that I think is super interesting is how this whole case comes down to the Federal Advisory Committee Act.
Okay, Faka, break that down for us. What's the big deal with this act?
Well, it's all about transparency.
Right.
In government. So FACA requires certain advisory committees to, like, have these open meetings.
Yeah.
And then they have to make all their records public.
Okay.
To try to prevent any backroom dealings and to make sure that the public knows what's going on with these policy decisions.
Sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Sunshine, lies, and all. So how does Dick Cheney and his energy task force fit into this?
Well, so Cheney, he forms this National Energy Policy Development Group, NEPDG.
Okay.
To advise, you know, on energy policy.
Yeah.
And some environmental groups, the Sierra Club, Judicial Watch.
Right.
They weren't happy about it.
I bet.
They said this task force was full of industry insiders.
Ah. Awesome.
And they were saying it should have been subject to FACA.
Right.
So the public could see, you know, who was pulling the strings influencing these decisions about energy.
Ah, so it's that classic battle.
Mm.
You got the government on one side.
Yeah.
Arguing for, like, executive privilege.
Right.
And keeping those high-level discussions confidential.
Yep.
Then you have these groups on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They're demanding transparency.
Right.
Accountability.
So this clash, it played out in the courts, right?
Mm-hmm.
The environmental groups wanted access to, like,
yes,
documents, information, anything about what was going on inside the NEPDG.
Absolutely.
And that's where this whole discovery thing comes into play, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so for those of us who, you know, aren't lawyers, can you explain what discovery means in this situation?
So discovery is basically this legal process where the parties in a lawsuit, they can ask each other for information, for documents to, you know, build their case. So in this instance, these environmental groups, they were going after specific information about the NEPDG.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know who was a member, what was discussed in the meetings, and any internal communication.
Yeah.
Basically anything that could show how much influence the industry had and maybe even some conflicts of interest.
So they weren't just going on a fishing expedition.
Sure.
They had a very specific target.
Yeah.
And they believed this info was, like, crucial to proving that the task force violated FACA.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I imagine the government pushed back, right?
Oh, they pushed back hard.
Okay.
They were saying, hey, if we let you dig into all these internal talks, it's going to shut down open communication in the White House.
That makes sense.
It's going to make it harder for the president to get honest advice.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, vital to making good decisions.
So it's this clash of values.
Yes.
Transparency versus the need for confidentiality at the top.
Exactly.
So what happened next? Did the court side with the environmental groups?
Well, at first, a district court, they allowed some limited discovery.
Amazing.
They gave the groups a little peek behind the curtain.
Right.
That, you know, the government appealed.
Yeah.
And then the appeals court actually sided with the environmental groups.
Oh, wow.
So that really set the stage for this showdown at the Supreme Court.
Okay, so now's where things get really interesting and kind of controversial. We got to talk about Justice Scalia and that infamous duck hunting trip.
Yeah, that's when things get really wild.
So right before they're about to argue the case at the Supreme Court, Justice Scalia goes on a duck hunting trip.
Yep.
With, wait for it, Vice President Cheney.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the uproar.
Oh, the critics had a field day with that one.
I bet.
They immediately started questioning if Scalia could even be impartial.
Yeah.
In a case involving a guy he'd just been hunting with.
Right, right.
Especially given, you know, how big this case was.
Yeah.
And what it meant for executive power.
It does make you wonder about, you know, appearances, even if nothing actually happened on that trip.
Optics matter.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the hunting trip.
Yeah.
It was that Scalia flew on Air Force Two with Cheney.
Uh-huh.
That just added fuel to the fire.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Like they were too cozy or something.
Right.
So how did Scalia respond? Did he try to defend the trip?
Oh, yeah, he did. He wrote this 21-page memo.
21 pages?
21 pages.
Oh.
To explain what happened and why he didn't need to step down from the case.
Interesting. His arguments, they actually touch on some really important legal and ethical stuff.
They do.
Okay, I'm all ears. Let's break down Scalia's defense and what it tells us about the bigger picture here.
Scalia's memo really gets to the heart of this question.
Yeah.
What is a conflict of interest for a Supreme Court justice?
Right, right.
He said there was a difference between, you know, a personal relationship and an official one.
Okay, so walk me through that. What's the difference in this case?
Well, he was saying that Cheney was being sued as vice president, right?
Yeah.
Not as just some regular guy.
Okay.
So Scalia's saying his friendship with Cheney doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
Because the case is about what Cheney did as a government official.
Okay. So because it's about his actions in office,
mm-hmm.
that means their personal connection shouldn't disqualify Scalia from the case.
Right. Scalia even pointed to the rules about judicial ethics.
Yeah.
Saying they treat these situations differently.
Interesting.
He even brought up times when justices heard cases involving government officials they knew socially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So his point was, just because you know someone in government,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean you can't rule on a case that involves their department or agency or whatever.
Okay, so like, just because a justice has had dinner with the Secretary of Defense.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't mean they can't rule on a case involving the military.
Yep, that's what Scalia was saying. He also kept saying that he and Cheney, they never even talked about the case on their trip.
Okay.
And they were rarely alone. But his critics, they weren't buying it.
Yeah.
They said it just looked too bad.
It does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, flying on Air Force Two with the vice president while his case is pending at the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It definitely creates that impression of favoritism, right?
Totally. Regardless of whether that was the intention or not.
And that's exactly what the critics were getting at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the appearance of impropriety.
Yeah.
That can damage people's trust in the whole judicial system.
It can, absolutely. It's like that whole Caesar's wife thing, you know?
Right.
Even the perception of bias can be just as bad as actual bias.
Exactly. But Scalia, he addressed the Air Force Two thing in his memo.
He did. What did he say?
He basically said, come on, if a simple plane ride can sway a Supreme Court justice, then we've got much bigger problems.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. He definitely had a strong personality, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He wasn't afraid to shake things up.
Yeah.
But beyond that, beyond his personality, what Scalia was really arguing was that any reasonable person, if they knew all the facts, wouldn't question his impartiality.
Mm.
He said this wasn't a criminal case where Cheney could, you know, lose his freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
And there wasn't any proof of, like, actual bad influence.
Okay, so we've looked at Scalia's side.
Yeah.
But let's focus on the case itself.
Okay.
What did the Supreme Court ultimately decide in Cheney v. USDC?
Well, in the end, the Supreme Court sided with Cheney 7-2.
Wow, okay. They put some pretty serious limits on the discovery process when it came to the executive branch. This was a big win for Cheney and a loss for everyone pushing for more transparency.
So can you explain, like, the court's reasoning?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they choose to side with Cheney?
Okay, so Justice Kennedy, he wrote the majority opinion. And he said that they needed to protect the executive branch from what they saw as too much interference from the courts.
Okay.
They said that what the environmental groups were asking for was too broad, too much of a burden,
right.
And that if they had to do all that, it would basically stop the president from getting honest advice.
So they were worried that if advisors thought their conversations were going to be public, they wouldn't be as honest.
Exactly. They thought it would hurt the president's ability to make decisions. They also said that this case, it wasn't like United States v. Nixon.
The Watergate case.
Yeah.
With the tapes.
Exactly.
Okay, why was that distinction important?
So the court in Cheney, they emphasized that Nixon, that was a criminal case.
Right.
And they needed the evidence for a fair trial more than anything else. But Cheney, this was a civil case.
Okay.
Lower stakes. And they said that the plaintiffs, they hadn't shown a real need for the information they wanted.
So they were setting a higher bar for when it's okay to, like, peek into the inner workings of the executive branch.
Right. And by doing that, they strengthen the idea of executive privilege.
Okay, let's define that for our listeners. What exactly is executive privilege here?
It's a legal thing, a doctrine.
Oh.
It protects some of the conversations between the president and his advisors from being made public. The idea is that the president needs to have confidential talks to make good choices.
Exactly.
It comes from the separation of powers, you know.
Yeah.
Each branch of government needs to be able to work on its own.
So basically, the court in Cheney, they were putting a premium on confidentiality and those presidential decisions, even if it meant keeping some things from the public.
Yeah.
Some might say that hurts government transparency.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people argued about that after the ruling. But the court, they said they were trying to find a balance between transparency and letting the executive branch do its job.
It's tough to find that balance.
It is.
This is all super interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they care about this case?
You know, that's a great question.
Okay.
It's a question that gets to why this case still matters today. Cheney v. USDC, it's not just about some task force or a hunting trip.
Yeah.
It raises questions about the balance of power in our government.
Oh, I see.
How much transparency is good?
Yeah.
And what about confidentiality when our leaders are making decisions?
So it's not just legal stuff.
Right.
It's about how our democracy works.
Exactly. And how we hold our leaders accountable.
Exactly.
And what came out of this case, it still affects things today.
Right. Really.
Both legally and politically. We'll talk about some of that in the last part of our deep dive.
All right. So we've covered a ton of ground here.
We have.
FECA, the controversy with Cheney's task force,
mm-hmm.
that whole duck hunting trip, Scalia's defense.
Yeah.
But let's zoom out a bit.
Okay.
What's the lasting impact of Cheney v. USDC?
Well, one thing is it made it way harder to use FACA to challenge those presidential advisory groups, especially the high-level ones.
Yeah.
Basically, it let the executive branch do more behind closed doors.
So less transparency then.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
There are good arguments on both sides.
Right.
I mean, people should know how decisions are made.
Yeah, especially the ones that affect them.
Right. Exactly. But then there's the argument that presidents, they need some privacy
to
have those frank talks with their advisors and make the tough calls.
Right. Without everyone looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
So finding that balance between transparency and letting the government work.
It is.
It's not easy.
Nope.
And in Cheney v. USDC, the court, they went with protecting executive privilege.
They did.
Even if it meant less public access?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what about all that stuff with judicial ethics?
Oh, right.
Did this case change anything there?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Really?
Scalia not stepping down?
Uh-huh.
That caused a huge controversy, and it's still being talked about.
I could see that.
It raised all these questions about how justices should handle conflicts of interest.
Right.
And when they should recuse themselves, step down from a case.
And this is still a debate, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
We've seen this with other justices recently, too.
For sure. Cheney v. USDC, it didn't solve this issue.
No.
It made it even more complicated.
Hmm. How so?
It forced us to ask, like, when is a relationship too close?
Yeah, good question.
Is just the appearance of bias enough?
Right.
Even if there's no proof of actual bias?
Tough questions.
Very tough.
It feels like there's not an easy answer.
No, there isn't. It's very subjective.
Yeah.
And that's why people disagree so much.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Each case is different.
Yeah.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Cheney v. USDC, what are the big things our listeners should take away?
Okay, well, first,
yeah.
I think it shows how transparency and confidentiality, they're always going to be in tension, especially in government.
Yeah.
There's no perfect answer. You have to weigh the values and see which one matters more in each situation.
It's like a classic legal and ethical dilemma.
Totally.
Yeah. What else?
Second, this case, it shows how powerful executive privilege is.
Yeah.
And how hard it is to overcome.
Yeah.
That's something important to keep in mind.
Yeah. Especially now.
When we're dealing with government secrecy and accountability.
Right, right.
And then that whole thing with Scalia and recusal, it reminds us that even the Supreme Court, they're just people.
Right.
With their own connections, their own views. That makes sense.
And that makes things even more complicated.
It really highlights that the law isn't always black and white.
No, not at all.
There's a lot of gray area.
So much gray area.
So where do we go from here?
Hmm. That's a good question.
What about our listeners who want to learn more?
Well, I think they should consider this. How do we make sure our judicial system is both transparent and fair?
That's a big one.
Especially now, yeah, when things are so polarized,
uh-huh,
and people don't trust institutions as much.
Right.
Cheney v. USDC, it didn't give us all the answers.
No.
But it did make us think about these important questions.
Absolutely.
Questions we're still dealing with today.
It really shows how a case from 2004
mm-hmm
can still be relevant today.
Totally.
Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
I think we've all learned a lot about this case.
I think so, too.
It's fascinating.
It is.
And important.
Absolutely. It was great to break down these complicated legal issues.
And see how they play out in the real world.
And to our listeners, thanks for diving in with us.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Keep those minds working.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you on our next deep dive.
See you then.